gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Meg Whitman's going on Hannity? That seems like a dumb idea. Not as dumb as Barbara Boxer's hair. What? Oh, we're on the radio? Oh, someone tell me. Is that what this big thing is, a microphone? It's the Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. StephanieMiller.com, the website. It's the Not Ready for Prime Time Senate candidate, ladies and gentlemen, Carly Fiorito. Come on down. Here's the good news. All our senators are ready for prime time.
That's right.
In particular, Senator Debbie Stabenow of the great state of Michigan. Good morning, Senator.
Good morning, Steph. How are you?
Oh, dear. Carly Fiorito has stumbled out of the gate, Senator. I'm sure you couldn't be.
What do you say? What do you, it's unbelievable.
Here was the thing. I didn't understand, you know, the whole, oh, she's a businesswoman. I'm like, well, she ran a business into the ground and then got fired. Is that what qualifies you to?
I guess so.
Yeah. And she outsourced a bunch of jobs. You know what the job situation
right.
is like, you know, particularly.
Well, I got to tell you what, California should be very grateful to have somebody that fights as hard as Barbara Boxer.
Yes.
I mean, this woman is ferocious on fighting for jobs in California. She reminds us of that all the time. In fact, she and I partner on a lot of things because California and Michigan are both in a situation where we've, you know, lost a lot of jobs, a lot of people hurting. We're fighting for, you know, new opportunities, you know, clean energy, innovation jobs, all of these things. And Barbara's just right there. I mean, boy, I would, if I were folks in California,
right.
I would sure want her on my side.
Yeah. Oh, no, I've said this. You know, I mean, I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I just think she's one of our finest senators. But, you know, Meg Whitman and Carly Fiorino, if they had just given individual checks to each Californian in the amount they spent on their campaign, California would be fine now, don't you think?
It's amazing. You know, you're talking to somebody who is, I think I'm listed as the poorest senator in the Senate, so I can't
Good
relate
for you,
to
Senator.
that. But, you know, I'm just out there, you know, I'm just out there fighting for folks that just want to, you know, play by the rules and, you know, be able to take care of their families every day. You know, that's who I am and that's who they are. So that's what I'm about.
Yeah. And no wonder you're so down to earth. I had no idea you were such a pauper.
I am. when they talk about month-to-month bills, I can relate.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you are fighting a good fight on behalf of people in Michigan. Let's talk about unemployment. We'll get to the oil spill and all that, but let's talk about unemployment, you know, your China Free Trade Act and all of that.
Right.
Let's start with that.
Right. Well, let me say, Ms. Stephanie, that I, as you know, I mean, I'm very, very concerned that in a global economy that we're exporting products and not our jobs. And we've been
right.
exporting too many jobs because the rules haven't been fair. And the big, the big entity that has been cheating over the years has been China, whether they misvalue their currency so that, you know, their products come in and they seem cheaper because they get an artificial discount, or whether it's their government policies. And one of the things that we've found in looking at this, they control most of their economy, the Chinese government in some way or the other. They control 40% of it directly, and they own all the banks, and they basically control their economy. And now they're saying that if you're not a Chinese business or if you don't use a Chinese patent, then you can't do business with their government, which basically blocks out American companies, and it also encourages Chinese companies to continue to steal our patents so that, you know, an American patent now becomes a Chinese patent and then they do business. So I've got a bill in that we're putting in next week called the China Fair Trade Act that basically says that if China doesn't agree to what other countries have agreed to, that to open up their procurement process, you know, their purchasing through their government
right.
to allow us to be able to bid on goods and services with them, that we're going to stop federal tax dollars buying any Chinese goods or services. There's no reason that our tax dollars ought to be used to purchase Chinese goods or services that we can do here. And if they're not going to open up to us and allow our businesses to be able to bid and export to them, then we ought to close it to them. And it's all about fair play, and it's all about jobs for us. And I'm tired of us losing jobs because they don't act fair. And, you know, we don't have a level playing field with these guys.
Right. Senator, let's talk about the jobs bill. So you guys moved within striking distance, right, of the votes needed for passage of the jobs and economic relief bill. So now what happens? It goes back to the House? What is the status of that?
Well, we're still working on it. We will have a final vote next week, actually. We're still working on amendments and changes. You know, we passed this bill once, a jobs bill. It went over to the House. Some changes were made. It came back to us. It's actually a smaller bill in terms of investments than it was before, but still very, very important. And now we're trying to work through it. Republican colleagues that supported it the first time in the Senate, we're now having difficulty getting their support this time around. And bottom line for us is that we've got to continue to create incentives for businesses to invest, to create jobs, for small businesses. We've got to help those who are caught in this economic tsunami by extending unemployment benefits, by helping people who lost their health care in the short run. I mean, this really is about continuing the effort to stimulate the economy and to help those who have lost their jobs. And I remind people all the time, when President Obama came in, we were losing 750,000 jobs a month plus. You know, we have, through the Recovery Act, through other efforts, partnering with the private sector, we got that down to zero by the end of the year, zero jobs lost. Now we're looking at 200, 250,000 jobs a month going forward. And,
that we're adding.
That we're adding. That we're now adding. Now, last month, a lot of that was the census jobs, which are temporary. But underneath it, we are adding jobs every month. And
I mean, the report before was more private sector jobs, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So this, you know, this is really about, you know, whether or not we're going to step in with the worst economy that in a generation and make the investments to be able to create jobs or not.
Right.
And we say yes to that.
Right. Senator, let's talk about, obviously, the big story in the news, the oil spill. You know, I just think Americans clearly sort of just horrified and not sure, you know, day to day what's happening you know, what's going to happen next. What's your take on all that?
Well, first of all, it's horrible. I mean, this whole thing with the spill is just heart-wrenching. It's horrible. It's, you know, outrageous. And it's part of a pattern of what has happened under the Republican philosophy that says you step back and you let corporations police themselves, even if there is a major risk to the American public. This happened on Wall Street. It happened with mining. We lost miners in West Virginia because of lack of oversight. It's now happening in the oil industry. We all know how close the former administration was and still is to the oil industry. So what we have here, I think, is a perfect storm that the Obama administration inherited. Perfect storm meaning you've got BP out there with the worst safety record in the industry. 97% of all the safety violations, egregious violations, have been committed by BP. And then you have a philosophy of the Bush administration, and it's a broader philosophy of Republicans to step back. You know, MMS would let BP and others fill in their own inspection reports and would let them basically oversee themselves. And so now you have a situation with new administration, different philosophy, who's operating in the public interest, trying to get their arms around this, but who find themselves in a situation where, you know, they don't have the oversight internally. I mean, they're working on it, and Ken Salazar, I think, is working very hard. They put in new ethics rules and, you know, separating the functions out and so on. But we find ourselves in just a horrible situation. And the same people, you know, same people that argue that government should get out of the way is now trying to blame the Obama administration for what happened. So
yeah.
Pretty outrageous. And,
but, Senator, I know, I mean, I'm not an attorney, but, you know, I'm curious. A lot of people are saying, I mean, this really is like leaving the criminals now in charge of a crime scene, and can't we, you know, essentially, I mean, I don't know whether it's take them over or put it, but, I mean, just to make sure, for instance, these claims are getting paid because they're not.
Oh, no
Gulf
question.
Presidents are angry. They're not, you know, getting, I mean, pretty much everything BP has said has turned out to be untrue, hasn't it?
Right. I mean, it's outrageous. And, you know, thank goodness our attorney general is stepping in to look at both, you know, civil and criminal investigations of what went on. And we were now hearing from people who were working on the rig. And, you know, we all just send, you know, all of our thoughts and prayers to the families that lost lives, but people who were on that rig that were raising concerns about shortcuts. You know, about what was happening with the casings, you know, that Halliburton were, you know, putting in, and that the safety questions about what was going on. But what we have now, and, you know, it doesn't take away that this is horrible, and that we've got to find a way to stop this. But, you know, the president and Secretary Salazar and everybody now has stepped in to do everything humanly possible to hold BP's feet to the fire, to bring in experts. But there's no good answers. And I don't blame people for being frustrated because you know, we're in a horrible situation here, and they're scrambling because there weren't good safety plans in place.
Yeah.
And the inspectors in the old regime, you know, didn't make sure that there was redundancy in the systems.
Yep. Senator, let me get, before you go, get your take on the primaries. And, you know, obviously one of the big stories, which is a tough one for both of us, I know you and I are both big supporters of labor. What do you make of this whole story in the Blanche Lincoln primary that, you know, somebody, an unnamed source at the White House, says something about the unions flushing their money away? I mean, you know, obviously the president is going to, and Democrats are going to need their progressive base in the 2010 elections, don't you think?
Well, no question. But I hope everybody's going to come back together. You know, Blanche Lincoln's a good friend of mine. She works hard. She, you know, she comes from a southern state that's, you know, different than Michigan, more, you know, different kinds of issues. You know, we need to come all back together and really talk about the big differences between, you know, a philosophy that the Republicans have had for decades that has put in place a set of actions over the years that have hurt people. You know,
oh, I agree. I mean,
millions of jobs,
right?
And
I mean, if God forbid they got
companies, and you know,
right? If God forbid they got. If they got Republican majorities in, I mean, we could be sure we will not get anything done for the next, you know.
Well, and not only that, we'll go right back to the oil companies writing their own inspection reports. And we'll go right back to nobody overseeing, you know, the safety of the miners going into those mines. And we'll go right back to nobody watching Wall Street and everybody having to worry about their 401k. I mean, that's where this thing goes if
we don't
pull together. And so I understand people's frustrations on all sides, but we got to pull together because there's bigger issues at stake here. And, you know, we've lost over a million jobs in Michigan in the last decade. And we've lost those because nobody was watching in the past what was happening on fair trade, and nobody was paying attention to manufacturing. And now we've got an administration who gets that stuff. And so I just want to stay focused on, you know, the basics to get people back to work and do what we need to do. You know, so we got to find some way to come back.
Absolutely.
Together.
And you do that work because you're a fine woman, and also because you're so poor, you have to work hard. That's what we've learned today with our interview with Senator Debbie Stabenow.
You know what? I have to say, though, I'm not complaining because, you know, I'm not suggesting that you know, I don't make a good income, that's for sure. And I'm very, very blessed. I'm very, very blessed. But, you know, I have to say, I come from a working class family. And,
there you go.
And so I get it, you know.
Senator Debbie Stabenow. She is rich in heart from the great state of Michigan. Thank you, Senator.
Okay.
See you next time. There she goes.
You made her a little uncomfortable there.
She's the Senate's hobo.
Yeah.
Or just saying she's not in Fiorina Whitman territory.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. By the way, I think I'm getting a sore throat, or I'm spontaneously turning into a man. Can that happen naturally in nature? I'm not sure what's happening.
I don't think it's
have
ever
you
been recorded.
That?
Yeah.
Can it spontaneously? I still have lady parts. I just am not. I just feel like I'm dropping octaves. We'll discuss that when we get back.
Okay.
20 minutes. Okay. 20. I don't smoke. I don't know what's happening.
It's New
minutes.
York.
That's Let me do a cup check during the break. 20 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's a beautiful miracle of nature.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Did I forget to mention what a slam bang show we have coming up?
Nah.
You might want to get on the phones right now, 1-800-STEP-12, because it's almost time to face the Grayson.
Yes.
Alan Grayson, a congressman extraordinaire, starring in the wildly popular new feature Face the Grayson, coming up in just a couple of minutes. Your opportunity to ask the good congressman a question. Mike Papantonio, in the 40 or 50 seconds or so that he is not on television during the day, will be on with us. Lawyer extraordinaire to talk about the BP oil spill. And Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, one of our personal favorites.
Yes, he's Chuck Lee.
Pardon me?
He's Chuck Lee.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I have a pop quiz for you. In April 2009... the business magazine website Condé Nast Portfolio listed who as one of the 20 worst American CEOs of all time.
Stephanie Miller.
No. Carly Fiorina.
Oh, dear.
Yay. The HP-Compaq merger, of course, was widely regarded failure, and citing the halving of HP's stock value under Fiorina's tenure.
Mm-hmm.
Good job. Good job. At least she has a good sense of how to behave when you're on camera. Okay, so this was the big story. You see, when you have the microphone on you and the camera's on, that's fair game, you see.
Yeah.
Even if the interview hasn't started yet, so you need to just be a little bit careful.
What's one of the first things you learn in broadcast school?
When
there's a mic around, you always have to assume that it's hot.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So this was the big story yesterday. The not ready for primetime Senate candidate, Carly Fiorina.
I find it really surprising that on the first day of the general, Meg Whitman's going on Sean Hannity. Did you hear that? I think it's bizarre. I mean, she's never been on Sean Hannity. I think it's a very bad choice, actually.
Oh.
You know how he is.
No.
Lauda saw Barbara Boxer briefly on television this morning and said what everyone says. God, what is that hair?
Oh.
Yeah.
So yesterday.
Oh.
Meow. Really? Who'd like another saucer of milk? Wow. Thanks a lot. The whole year of the woman. That just kind of, wow. Just made us look all catty and bitchy. Can I just say the first time Carly runs into Meg Whitman or Barbara Boxer, say it with me, awkward.
Awkward.
If I were Barbara Boxer, I would just go, how's my hair? I would just, you know. Maybe their first debate, Barbara should just fluff her hair the whole time. Just, oh, that is just hilarious. And by the way, so what has Sean Hannity said to this?
Sean Hannity hasn't said anything.
I'm guessing there won't be a big push behind the Fiorina campaign from Hannity.
What did she mean, you know how he is?
And then the look on her face, the same look we make, just that eye roll and like sort of, you know, half ready to vomit.
Yeah.
Looked like she threw up in her mouth a little bit. You know how he is.
What did she mean by you know how he is?
I don't know. Let's ask her. We can get her booked on this show now, can't we?
Oh, yeah. She's rushing to get on this show.
Because, see, now that would be a dumb choice. Meg Whitman going on Hannity, I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Rebecca, call her anyway, just for chuckles. See what her office says. Say Stephanie's a good friend of Sean Hannity's, and she wants to know what you meant. I'm insulted. 29 minutes after the hour, time to face the Grayson next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I think they're forgotten. I think they are.
Stephanie Miller.
Chins up, boobs out. It's showtime.
Woohoo! It is the Stephanie Miller Show. By the way, Carly, no, that's not what everybody thinks when they see Barbara Boxer. They think, gee, that's really smart stuff coming out of her mouth. What a great senator. And she knows she's on camera. Okay. What the, who's ever said anything about Barbara Boxer's hair? What is she talking about?
It's the same thing everybody says. What's wrong with her hair?
All right, doesn't she just, you know, I hate to say it, but you know when you don't know you're on camera? That's mm-hmm. the real her.
That is the real her.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Bitchy, entitled, rich woman. Just, ugh. And, you know, used to people at her beck and call. Just, yes, girl. Oh, yeah,
and what was up with that ugly suit she was wearing while she was saying that stuff? Holy cow.
I was going to, I'm just saying, you're one to talk, you know. Barbara Boxer, she's a good-looking woman. God bless her. I've done events with her. She's
but you know what? Her looks
perfectly
have
turned out. She's, you know, but it's, why is she bringing looks into this?
Yeah, her looks have nothing to do with how well she legislates.
Yeah, it's thanks for the ruining the year of the woman, Carly. Thanks a lot. Now you ruined it. Now we can't have nice things again.
What is it with right-wingers and the way legislators look? I mean, we had, you know, those two people, you know, at the other station here in Los Angeles.
Oh, Linda Sanchez is fat,
yeah,
right?
Linda
to call
Sanchez
her office and tell her, yeah, uh-huh. All right, there's only one man that can restore order now, and I think you know what.
And now it's time for Congressman Alan Grayson and your chance to face the Grayson.
Now here he is, the devilishly handsome Congressman Alan Grayson of the great state of Florida. Good morning, Congressman.
Good morning. My looks have nothing to do with the way I legislate.
It's just an added bonus. Wow, we're sort of getting a lucky roll of the dice in a few places, aren't we? In Nevada and California. What do you think?
No, it's preparation. Luck comes to the well-prepared.
You know, can you seriously believe that someone that wants to be in the Senate has no idea when the camera's on and the microphone is on her? She needs to be careful.
What? Are we on the air?
You thought this was the rehearsal, right?
Oh, my God, we're on the air now?
Yes, yes.
Oh,
this
I'm
is live.
So
we're doing it live, as Bill O'Reilly would say. So, Congressman, what did you think? Let's talk about the primaries, first of all. What was your take in general on what happened?
Somebody won. Somebody else lost.
There you go. Yeah.
Doesn't bother me.
You know what? You do not have a future as a pundit should this whole congressperson thing fall through.
I can't come up with anything profound. I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, it seems to me, like we've talked about before, this Tea Party thing is nothing but good news for Democrats. I mean, Sharon Engel, oh, dear.
Oh, my God.
But you know what I'm saying? They're driving. Say again?
I will say this. It is surprising to me that a woman who says that the answer to our health care problems is to take a chicken to your doctor loses.
Yeah.
Not because
yes.
she said that, but because she's not conservative enough.
Because she's not, that was not quite right-wing crazy enough, apparently,
right.
for Nevada.
Not crazy enough, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you take, I mean, obviously you're a hero of the progressive base. What do you take from the Blanche Lincoln thing? Because I know that, you know, progressives are not, you know, and particularly the comments that somebody at the White House made about unions. What's your take on all that?
Well, I think that somebody at the White House has to learn something, which is that there's no point in just being in power. That's meaningless. The president isn't elected president just to preside. He's elected president to lead. And
right.
the reason why the unions were so concerned about Blanche Lincoln is because she was throwing sand in the gears whenever anybody tried to do any leading,
yep.
whenever anybody tried to move this country in a direction that would be helpful for everybody and promote the common good. That's
yep.
why the unions felt she needed to be disciplined. And there's a lot of people who are in that category, including apparently somebody in the White House. Somebody who went and said what he said or she said. to scold the unions for trying to actually get things moving in this country.
Well, yeah, you don't want to further dispirit your progressive base before the midterms, right?
Well, maybe somebody in the White House does.
Mm-hmm. Congressman, let's talk about the oil spill, because you're obviously from Florida, and every week you and I talk, and this gets to a different layer of awful. What is your take on what exactly is happening and, getting the claims paid and all that stuff?
Well, we met here in the House privately with some BP representative, and it was a members-only meeting, but I'm going to tell you all about it anyway, because I'm just a big gossip.
And you know the microphone's on.
Yes. Right. And I asked him, what have you done to prevent this from happening? And his answer was nothing. We're studying the situation. We're trying to analyze what happened. This is 52 days after the event itself. And he says they've done nothing to prevent it from happening again. I asked him, what have you done to keep the oil out of the food supply? He said, nothing. So it seems to me that nothing's happening. Nothing's happening to prevent this from happening again. Nothing's happening to make the disaster spread far and wide. And I think we're going to have to step in. BP is not getting the job done.
Well, this is what I've been asking. We're having, Mike Papantonio on coming up. But what, legally, what can we do? I mean, even on a government level, Congressman, or congressional level, can we seize them? Can we seize their assets? What can we do legally?
Level a fine against them and insist that they pay it. The government has authority to level a fine of over $4,000 per spilled barrel against BP. Do the math. Mm-hmm. By their own calculation, they're actually sweeping up from the bottom of the ocean 14,000 barrels a day. God knows how much more is escaping, but that means that there's at least 14,000 barrels a day coming out of that hole every single day. It's already been over 50 days. That means that they've spilled an enormous, staggering amount of oil, which gets potentially fined at over $4,000 per barrel.
Yeah.
That fine needs to be assessed.
Even these pictures, I think it's hard to even take in the enormity of it. And I just the pictures of the animals alone, literally make me sick to my stomach. It's just the sort of the enormity of what they've done to earn this whole ecosystem is just stunning.
It is. It is, and this is a company that makes $16 billion a year in profit. If they wanted to, they could have prevented this. If they wanted to, they could have done something more to stop it more quickly. They have enormous resources at their disposal, and they're not using them.
Yep. All right, let's 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere. David in Washington, sir. Yes.
We don't need to do this week. I already have all the answers. We don't need the questions. I have the answers.
Okay.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. 17.
Uh-huh.
Mary Tyler Moore.
Mm-hmm.
Nitrous oxide.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And Jamaica.
Okay. All right. Hold your calls. He's the funniest congressman ever. David in Washington State. Let's face the Grayson anyway. Good morning, David.
Morning, Stephanie. Morning,
good
Congressman.
Morning.
Okay, 52 days of this disaster, this growing disaster in the Gulf. Are there plans for Congress to tighten screws on British Petroleum, like today or tomorrow?
Well, Congress passes laws, but the administration should be tightening the screws on them. And I think the administration has done that to some degree. We talked about that last week. But they just have to get the job done. They have to make sure that BP pays for all the economic damage that's done. And actually pays for all the environmental damage that's done.
So when the Exxon Valdez disaster happened, it seemed like a lot of the payouts didn't occur until like 20 years afterwards. Is this, or maybe I've got the numbers wrong, but it seems like the oil companies responsible was able to stretch out the claims.
Well, we have to keep our eyes on the claims process. BP's already got thousands and thousands of claims.
Right.
They said yesterday they haven't denied any of them yet. And we asked them how many of you actually paid out, and there was silence. We'll check on that. We'll get back to you.
God. I think about half of them is what I'm reading.
Yeah, we do have to make sure that these claims are actually paid out on a timely basis, and they've got the money to do so. They're made of money.
Yep, absolutely. Chad in Spokane, you're on with Congressman Alan Grayson. Go ahead, Chad.
Yeah, why can't we get some tankers in the Gulf to suck all that oil out? Why is there no action there? Why? I don't get it.
Well, BP has a tanker, and in fact several tankers standing by, waiting to take the oil that's that they're getting out from the bottom that's leaking out right now. The oil that's already leaked for the first 50 days of this disaster is dispersed throughout the ocean and reaching the shores at this point. And what they're doing there is the Coast Guard has a flotilla of 170 different boats, and they're burning it off and cleaning it up as best as they can. On the surface, and the dispersants are spreading it around. We don't know what the long-term effect of that's going to be, but the short-term effect is that it's spread around.
You know, I have the same question Chad does, though I think in one sense, Congressman, of why didn't they have these in there sooner? Why didn't they send tankers in right away? I mean, I guess, you know, a lot of us are having a hard time understanding this on scientific levels to start with.
Are you talking about BP? Why didn't they send?
Yeah.
Right? Because they had no way to actually get the oil. The oil, by the time the oil reached the surface from a mile below the surface, it's 85% water, 15% oil.
Ah, okay.
And it's also, you know, it's because of the place that it's in, it tends to be globular. It's
right.
Not easy to it's not liquid anymore. It's because, as compared to, let's say, the Persian Gulf, those waters are actually relatively cool.
Yeah, so as some like diver said on TV last night, it's balls of snot, which I could have done without that visual. But, I mean, however you want to say it, it is disgusting. I mean, it's so you're saying there was no way to get it out when the spill originally happened?
Well, by the time it reaches the surface, it's just mixed in with an awful lot of other stuff, and it's no longer liquid. It's partly solid.
Yeah.
Right. Joe in Spokane, time to face the Grayson. Hey, Joe.
Hey, thank you for taking the call. 13 Americans have been killed this week alone in Afghanistan. And why does our Democratic Congress continue to fund it? I thought when we got a Democratic majority, maybe we were going to kind of cut back on the war, and don't we need that money here now, and don't we need our National Guard home now to maybe help with the oil spill?
Well, I would certainly say so, and I've voted that way. I think the simple answer is that our Democratic Congress is following our Democratic president. And said that we need to get out of Afghanistan in the next 3 months. That's exactly the way the Democratic majority in both the House and the Senate would vote. But the president hasn't said that. Instead, we're ramping up and we're not getting out. We're getting in deeper. I think that's a shame. And I said before, I'd love to see the president win 2 Nobel Peace Prizes or 3 Nobel Peace Prizes by getting us out of Afghanistan and Iraq as soon as possible.
Yeah, I hear, here. Before you go, Congressman, could I have some love music, please?
This is a very exciting moment in any relationship,
Congressman.
God.
You and I have gotten our first hate letter together. Would you like to hear it?
Yes.
This is very exciting, because this is what we originally hoped, Chris, right, is that the Congress would get us a lot of publicity.
Yes.
Which this has worked perfectly.
Oh, so that's
I thought we could get each other in a lot of trouble, and...
Oh, you user. So that's what this is all about? You just wanted publicity?
But at least I'm being honest. No, it's because I love you.
Okay,
but this is great. We made Breitbart.com, Chris.
Did you?
Congressman Grayson and I did, yes.
Uh-huh.
Bob writes, Dear Ms. Miller, I listened to a clip of your conversation with Alan Grayson at Breitbart.com.
He's kind of posting that illegally, isn't he?
Yeah, I think so. First of all, let's get someone on that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to believe there are a sufficient number of people in the radio audience to keep anyone as ill-informed as you on the air. Well, apparently there are. In pursuit of wisdom and common sense, I'll stick with Rush and Sean. Thank you very much. Grateful for the laughs, Bob and Vero Beach. All right. We are starting to make the right-wing wacko websites, Congressman. Isn't it exciting?
It is. It's exciting in all sorts of ways. I feel very excited.
Make sure you write it all down correctly, Newsbusters. Love ya. All right. Congressman Alan Grayson in another fabulous edition of Face the Grayson. See you next week, sir.
Thank you.
There he goes. All right. Breitbart.com. Why, that's where that felonious James O'Keefe posts his little...
That's his den of iniquity.
That's a new one for us, isn't it?
Yeah, we might have been on there before. It just didn't get in my Google News alert.
Make sure you transcribe it correctly.
All right.
You know, maybe it didn't make my Google News alert because Breitbart really doesn't report news. It just reports kind of, you know, rumor and things like that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right, then. All right. 48 minutes after the hour, back with all the latest on the oil spill as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 53 minutes after the hour. Coming up in hour number three, Mike Papantonio.
What?
Easy for me to say.
Papantonio.
Of Ring of Fire and of every channel on every television in the world,
mm-hmm.
To talk about the BP oil spill, lawyer extraordinaire, and also Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky.
Yes.
Oh, here's something for the Isn't It Ironic file. Have you seen these pictures around the internet?
Isn't it ironic?
Signs at BP gas stations tell customers they're responsible for any spills.
Yeah.
Get it?
Those pictures are making the rounds on the Facebooks.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's the sign right on the
pump
there. It says, warning, do not leave dispenser unattended. Customers are responsible for any spills.
Oh, dear.
Okie dokie, then. Gulf Coast fishermen, businesses, and property owners who have filed damages with BP over the spill are angrily complaining of delays, excessive paperwork, and skimpy payments that have put them on the verge of going under as the financial and environmental toll of the disaster grows by the day. The containment effort played out as BP plunged to its lowest stock level in 14 years. Among fears, the company might be forced to suspend dividends. Oh, no.
Poor thing.
Yeah, I'm going to lose sleep over that.
There are whispers about BP going bankrupt because of this, because I think I read this morning that they've lost about half their value on Wall Street.
Good. Well, as long as they get everything paid for and cleaned up, then good. Yeah, hit the lights on your way out.
Which begs the question, I mean, if the government is going to seize BP or do something like that, should they do it before they declare bankruptcy?
Yeah, well, all questions for Mike Papantonio. Yeah,
exactly.
I can't, why even bother doing the show till I can talk to him? Regina Shipp says, every day we call the adjuster 8 or 10 times. There's no answer, no answering machine. She's filed $33,000 in claims for lost business at her restaurant in Alabama. If BP doesn't pay us within 2 months, we'll be out of business. We've got 2 kids. You know, I have friends that do this. You know, when you work as like an independent contractor, mm-hmm. I have a friend that's like a website designer.
Sure.
And that's the problem. When people don't pay you, you know, you still got your light bill. And then guess what? Your lights go out because that's the problem. A lot of people, particularly in this economy, they don't have a big cushion.
No.
You know, you don't get your checks on time, and then, like, boom, your bills start coming in, and it's, you know. BP spokesman, whoever, like it matters.
Doug Suttles, is it?
No.
No? Okay.
Mark Progler, guy.
I've never seen him. Huh.
He disputed any notion that the claims process is slow or that the company is dragging its feet. Oh, well, guess what, huh?
You're lying, sack of
yeah.
You're
people are getting evicted because of you.
Lying, screaming, stinking, nasty sack of liquid.
Why do they even include that in news stories now, Chris? A BP spokesman says, "What? Okay, well, you just that statement means here comes another big fat lie." People have started doing the montages. Have you seen?
Hmm?
I think Olbermann did one last night. Just a montage of all the things Tony Hayward has said. It's just like, what? No.
Computer says no.
No. None of it is true. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs.
I don't think they're forgotten. I think they are. They were the very first victims of what is a very long and sad tragedy. It has changed the lives of many. It changed first the lives of those 11 families. It will do untold economic and environmental damage. It's the largest economic disaster that this country has ever seen. They're certainly not forgotten.
Chris, did you happen to see the testimony of the brother of one of these guys. And, you know, and that's the thing that you really have to do, because I think it's true. As this has expanded, people sometimes don't remember that. But there you see him. There's the father with his son. And, you know, they're building the, I can't remember what thing it was in the backyard. The really, his little brother just born. You know, they were building something together and they were that he was going to finish when he got back. And you're just like, wow, how do you repair that? How do you repair that? That those two kids grow up without a father, and that woman grows up without, you know, goes on without a husband, raising two kids, and you just go, I you know.
It's all heartbreaking. Oh. You know, it gets more heartbreaking by the day.
Yep. Thad writes, hi, Steph, I found my silver lining in the Gulf oil spill. My fantasy has been fulfilled daily when you call out my name. Thad! From Massachusetts. Here we go, is Thad.
In this point, I am the government, and we are not lowballing. We have a bunch of technical experts got together, and they came up with two ranges, 12 to 19 and 12 to 25,000. Until we get better data, that becomes the rebuttable assumptions we're making on flow and everything else. We're redoubling our efforts to continually question those assumptions and get more accuracy, especially as we know the flow rate and we're able to assess production. But I can guarantee you unequivocally nobody is lowballing anything that works for me.
Thad writes, I've been a fan of yours forever. I can still remember when the Dead Sea was only sick. Oh, that is funny. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, yes. 6 minutes after the hour, StephanieMiller.com, that website. Check it out. You can email us all, their executive producer, Chris LaVoy, voice deity, Jim Warner, me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget, Mama will be on the Ed Show tomorrow night, 6 p.m. Eastern. Okay. And you can email us all at the old horse-drawn website.
The steam-driven one.
Which existed, surprisingly, pre-Facebook and pre-Twitter.
I know. But you have presence. You have presences on Facebook and Twitter.
Yes.
I know. And you can get to that by going to StephanieMiller.com.
Chris in Yankton writes about the phrase above my pay grade. Steph, I understand and agree with the sentiment behind saying something is above my pay grade, but can we retire that phrase already? It's getting kind of old. I'm not meaning to criticize you or anybody on the newscast who might use it occasionally. I just think the phrase is starting to sound stale, like a flippant excuse for brushing off criticism. Cheers, Chris in Yankton. I'd like to say yes, Chris, but that's above my pay grade.
See what you did there?
I don't think it's... I think that's above your pay grade, too, isn't it, to decide which phrases to retire or not? I don't.
Way above my pay grade.
Yeah. Sorry. Maybe the guy that owns the show, maybe, I don't know, because that's above my pay grade to say whether we can stop saying that's above my pay grade. we're so immature. All right. Rich in Stratford. Essentially, everything is above our pay grade. That's the problem.
Yeah, because we just talk out of our ass.
What are we qualified? Nothing. Yeah, why you go into radio, because you're not qualified for anything.
We talk out of our ass for three solid hours. That's about it.
Can I just blabber for a living?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Pardon me, Rich in Stratford, Connecticut. Awesome. Oh, get some drama stings ready, won't you? Mm-hmm. Again, Al Franken, nails them. Senator Franken had the very last question in yesterday's Senate hearings on raising the liability limit on oil companies involved in deepwater drilling, retroactively against BP. Al got the lawyer arguing on behalf of the oil companies to admit they were drilling in deep water because, quote, that's where 92% of the oil is.
Ah.
That's what we keep saying. So... Senator Franken reasoned that the charge made by Bill Kristol and Sarah Palin that environmentalists have forced oil companies farther offshore is bogus. The oil company lawyer tried to weasel out of answering, but he was had by a comedian. Actually, really smart comedian that went to Harvard and whatever. But that's not important now.
No.
All right. Everybody can stop sending me the story. I am not the woman that kept calling 911 to find a husband in Ohio. I am that pathetic.
Computer says yes.
Yes, but it was not me.
Computer says no.
You've done that before. Just
I do drunk. I drunk dial Chris is what I do.
Well, yeah. Will you marry me? Will you at least do me?
Hey. Oh, how pathetic. Oh, you can reveal how pathetic my call was to you yesterday.
Oh, yes.
I was like, Chris, this is the call about your social calendar doesn't have to do with work. I'm thinking of giving myself a welcome home party when I come back to Los Angeles. Can you come? That was my call. That was my call to Chris yesterday.
Yeah.
How sad is that I'm giving myself a welcome home party? And half the people I'm inviting probably didn't even know I left. You're back?
What?
I didn't know you left. Whatever. Okay.
I would have offered
Who cares?
I would have offered to throw you the party, but I can't fit enough people in my van down by the river that I live in.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. An Ohio woman spent 3 days in jail for... And I love that I based the whole thing on whether you could come, because I really don't have that many friends. So I was like... An Ohio... Oh, boy. An Ohio woman spent 3 days in jail for calling the 911 emergency line 5 times seeking a husband. The dispatcher said, you need to get a husband? The 57-year-old woman responded, yes. Told that she could face arrest for misusing 911, she responded, let's do it!
Maybe the arresting officer could be my husband.
That's what she's thinking.
Yeah.
Increases my odds. Who are you sending? Don't make me burn the house down.
Well, no, that's what you would do in order to get the firemen out
there. Well, exactly. Hello. Oh, my goodness. There is a fire down below for sure. Hello. How did you do? She blamed the case on alcohol.
She what?
Hello, Jim. Jim's here just in time to talk over me. Hello, Jim. And ruin my punchline. Good morning.
Sorry, being on time is above my pay grade.
Hey.
I'm sorry, Jim. You said what?
Oh, never mind. It's irrelevant now.
All right.
Holy crap.
Yes?
Someone just sent me pictures of Sarah Palin's new boobs.
I know. What's up with
them? Oh, my God. It's huge.
Let's change her name to Cara Boob Barbie. Oh, Cara Boob.
Wow.
What? Yeah, what's going on? I read this on the superficial. What's up with her cans?
She's got huge melons.
She's Cara Barb Booby now.
If only she had Barbara Boxer's hair, then she might be...
Buddy in Columbus says, Sarah Palin is rocking the cocktail lounge cougar slut look.
Milfy McMooseburger, bringing the happy bags.
she's wearing sunglasses and a cap that have that truck stop gift shop look.
Yeah, here's the breaking news on the superficial. Sarah Palin might have implants. Here's Sarah Palin at the 142nd Belmont Stakes, and it looks like she's acquired some hefty new constituents in the boob district. Juan Kat apparently did a comparison of Palin's chest over the months, believes the half-term governor is sporting new moose bags. We can report with confidence, the superficial writes, that at least two people with experience in having breasts say that Sarah Palin looks like she was trotting out some new work at the horse races on Sunday. I don't know what to believe at this point, superficial writes, but the winking apocalypse of dumb didn't get new implants. It's just the winking apocalypse of dumb.
Yeah. I like that.
Wow.
I thought of that.
Wowee. By the way, Jim, the microphone's on, just in case you're wondering.
Okay.
Don't go call Carly Fiorina on our ass.
Well, what's up with Carly Fiorina's hair? What the
hell? I find it really surprising that on the first day of the general, Meg Whitman's going on Sean Hannity.
Oh!
Did you hear that?
That's weird.
I think it's bizarre. I mean, she's never been on Sean Hannity.
I
think it's a very bad choice, actually. You know how he is. Lauda saw Barbara Boxer briefly on television this morning and said what everyone says. God, what is that hair? So, yesterday.
Oh.
Oh.
It's, Kira, what's
your
name?
I'm not coming off like some entitled bitch, am I? No. I'm not coming off like some catty mean girl, am I? Oh boy. I'm telling you, Jim, the Republican Party, just the gift that keeps on giving for comedy. Wow. Carly Fiorina, just not even out of the gate, Chris. Like, one pump is still, like, snagged on the gate, and she's face down. Oh, boy. Yeah, that is...
She is kind of horsey at that. I think it's the hairdo.
Yesterday. Yep. I mean, seriously, aren't all these Republican women mean girls? They really are. That Sarah Palin is their leader.
Let's not even talk about Meg Whitman's hair.
Her hair is awful. It's so yesterday.
Let's not even talk about Meg Whitman's hair. Holy crap.
Well, she just lost Sean Hannity and Meg Whitman's vote.
Yeah.
Barbara Boxer, I don't think maybe she had that one in the first place.
No.
But, all right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? No. Oh, jeez, it's that yelly McGellerson guy.
From Cincinnati Radio?
Yeah, if you can't be right, be loud. Bill Cunningham on the president and VP.
The incompetence and the friendship Obama had with BP. He got money from BP, rubber stamped BP. They wanted to change the Horizon Deepwater platform.
Right.
They allowed it to happen. And Obama, because he's black, he's a liberal, and he's a Democrat, the media gives him a free pass.
The oil spill entirely his fault, and the media gave him a pass?
Well.
Because in case you haven't noticed, he's black.
Well, he did take money from BP.
Every single candidate on the face of the earth has taken money from BP.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
That's the point. Mm. Now here is that awful Hannity. You know how he is.
What?
Who's to kick, plug the damn hole. Is this presidential? So it would be now acceptable. He once said to somebody, we'll send Mr. Burgess up to Sean Hannity and tear me up. If I ever said tear up Obama, would the Secret Service be after me? Is it now acceptable based on what he said that, well, we ought to send somebody to kick Obama's boop?
Boop.
Oh, I see. He does his own bleeps.
Yeah.
Because they can't afford a box. Is that the deal?
He can't afford your box.
No, he can't. That is pricey.
Hey, I've got $5.
Okay, so let me get this straight. So it's vice presidential to tell a senator to go himself on the Senate floor. That's vice presidential.
Yes.
But him saying he needs to know who's asked to kick at BP, that's unfitting for the office somehow?
As Drudge said yesterday, that's street.
Ah. Because
another version. We're only two ass bites into right-wing world.
Yeah.
And it's already the theme, in case you haven't noticed.
This guy.
In case you haven't noticed, he's black.
All right.
Ass on Fox News. Huh?
Apparently.
Say all kinds of crazy stuff, but you can't.
Oh, wait, play that sound bite again. He did a different sound effect for the first one. Hang on. It's like he's going all curly on us. Hang on. Here we go.
Who's boop to kick?
Okay.
You know how he is.
Yeah, you know how he is.
You know how he is. All right, O'Reilly.
Add it to the O'Reilly sound effect.
Yes.
Yes, we need to add it to the O'Reilly gibberish. It's more Fox gibberish.
Oh, hey, nice to see you. Oh, hello.
Who's
wow. All right, it's 17 minutes after
wow.
the... 17 minutes after the hour, back with more Right Wing World as we continue on the Miller Show.
Wow, how did the show stay so fresh?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Oh my God, you guys, check out my Facebook page. Sarah Palin's fake boobs are on there.
That's right. And their comparisons.
Have you seen her hair? It's awful. Oh my God, so yesterday.
Comparison pictures between her old boobs and her new boobs.
This is the.
Are
we talking about the Republican women she's gotten into office? Not those boobs.
Hey!
Boobs! 22 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. O'Reilly on the president.
This guy's going to tax everybody to death next year when the Bush tax stuff stops, and the economy's going to tank. Because it could happen. Because he's a high tax guy, the wealthy are going to get hit, and the economy go right down. So that's why people are scared.
So by everybody he means people making $500
like
dollars a year.
Him.
Yeah, everybody he means him.
Yeah.
And John Stossel, who was sitting there agreeing with him.
Yeah. It's a catastrophe. Right.
Steve Ducey and Dana Perino and Brian Kilmeade, oh, there's a whole think tank there.
She was an extraordinary person because she had an agenda. Everybody else in the briefing room is a correspondent. She was a...
Well, not so much anymore. I do think that has changed a little bit.
Right, I've seen some.
I mean, you do have some very opinionated people that are in the briefing room and don't try to pretend to be objective.
Last thing, who gets that seat? Will Fox News get that seat?
Oh, God. You know what, though? I was reading a story this morning online that Fox News may very well get that seat because the White House Correspondents Association, they're leaning towards giving it to Major Garrett of Fox News.
That's what we need. What the fuck?
I mean, she was right to criticize Israel for the way they handled that whole thing.
She probably did it
thing,
very indelicately.
Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, could you take your organ out for me, Chris? Thank you. You know, there was some hypocrisy in this stuff, Jim. Like, for instance, Mike Hogg. I mean, first of all, everybody condemned her remarks. I mean, you know, that was another myth right there. Like, oh, the lamestream media. It's like, no, everybody.
Yeah.
From Keith Olbermann on down, MSNBC, CNN, everybody condemned it. But Mike Huckabee blasted her on his Fox News show, and he explained that Jews are at home in Israel because the Bible says so. He, on numerous occasions, however, has voiced his opposition to a Palestinian state in Palestine, suggesting Palestinians should move elsewhere.
Oh, of course.
The Palestinians can create their homeland in many other places in the Middle East, he once said, outside Israel.
They've got to move.
I think Progress, I believe, goes on to ask, would Huckabee endorse expanding Israel to cover the entire area God promised to Abraham, which would stretch from the River of Egypt to the Great River to the Euphrates, including much of modern-day Egypt, Jordan, and Syria, and kick out the local populations along the way? It's like, oh, please, that the Bible says.
That would not go over well.
Yeah, exactly. And we got to start killing people that eat shrimp and God knows what else.
Mixing cotton with polyester.
Yeah, exactly. Press the crosswalk button on the Sabbath, walk across while eating a pork and shrimp and cheese sandwich.
Ooh.
Then God will smite you.
God will smite you.
Jordan, Syria, everybody out. It's right here in the Bible. It's in the... All right. Glenn Beck on the radio.
The left, as I told you yesterday, is starting to fall apart.
What?
Because the people like Rosie O'Donnell, the people like Sean Penn, the people that you've always known are for a Venezuelan revolution, the Van Jones, the revolutionaries, not the Bill Clintons, the revolutionaries, the William Ayers, they're tired of waiting.
Van Jones was just on the show on Friday. He did not sound like a revolutionary.
I'm not mentioned.
No.
Exactly. Van Jones was just on the show.
Yeah.
Why am I not a revolutionary? I say I want a revolution. Come on, you nutcase. Mention me.
Hell, we're on a station called The Revolution in Asheville.
Yes! It's not even code, Glenn. Come on, say it.
No, but Van Jones suggested that there might be a need for a new investigation into 9/11, which is what some members of the 9/11 Commission think as well. So that, therefore, he's a commie. And
all right, Stuart Varney and Don Imus on the on Carly Fiorina.
We bring you Carly Fiorina, one of the two self-made women who won the Republican primaries in California yesterday. Mm-hmm. She's coming up in just a couple of minutes.
I like her. I hope she wins.
Yeah.
I like her.
Yeah. Well, she's up against Barbara Boxer in the fall.
Was it dope? Are you agreeing?
No comment. But, yes, I agree.
He
agrees.
Yeah, she's dope.
She's a dope
chick
with bad hair. Okay, all right. May I just say, Chris, and you know this, I have pictures on my wall of me with Barbara Boxer, done many events with
That's
her.
Right.
I think her hair is delightful. I no idea what we're even talking about.
And she's not dumb.
No, she's not a dope.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can call Barbara Boxer a lot of things, but...
I'd like to see Don
she
Imus...
She will make mental mincemeat out of you.
I'd like to see Don Imus or Stuart Varney in a debate with Barbara Boxer.
Yeah.
Or Sarah Palin.
Yeah. All right, Jackie in Santa Cruz on the oil spill. Hey, Jack.
Hi, guys. Hi. Listen, I hate to be a prophet of doom, but you know something? There will be other offshore disasters until they stop drilling offshore. Mm-hmm. And I hate to say this, but I changed my political affiliation the other day, and I changed from Democrat. I've been a Democrat forever, and that's a long time with me. I changed it to Green because I'll tell you, whoever gets in there again, I want them to be an environmentalist. Absolutely a stone, and I don't mean stoned, a stone environmentalist. I really mean that.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, this is going to keep happening. And then in the first place, why did they let BP of all, they have a terrible record.
Mm-hmm.
Why are they in there anyway? Why are they giving licenses, these guys?
Yep. And I don't know if you heard us talk about that, you know, Senator Al Franken, of course, had to be the one to drive home the point yesterday that we've been making, that it's not, oh, environmentalists, this is only happening because they're making us drill so far out. They're drilling that far out because that's where the oil is.
I realize.
Yeah, so they would be, you know, doing this no matter what, and it clearly they do not have the technology to do it safely. I'm with Jackie.
Well, we had a green president, Jimmy Carter, but some people voted for Reagan.
Yeah, Steph.
There he always brings it back to me.
Well,
I wasn't the only one. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. Oh, by the by, what? Did you see Rachel Maddow covered this last night? It's just so disappointing when Democrats do this sort of thing. What's his name? Ike Skelton?
Yeah.
The Democrat on Don't Ask, Don't Tell?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't want to have to discuss it because it would be icky because someone has to think of the children, apparently, is what his whole...
Somebody please think of the children.
So they're recruiting children now into the army? Wow.
I love that. Was that one phone call we had, Chris? I love just a guy, a parent in Orange County, I think, called and just said when he first explained it to his kids, they had, you know, neighbors or friends that were a gay couple. And the kids were like, okay, can we watch cartoons? It's like, they'll...
But I think
probably
the
never get over
is,
the
said,
scarring
watch,
from that.
Can we watch gay cartoons?
Gay cartoons.
Yeah, probably. The chairman of the House Armed Services Committee said he thinks the military should keep its ban on openly gay service members in part because he doesn't want to open a national discussion about homosexuality.
It's already there.
Yeah.
Representative Ike Skelton said he thinks the debate in Congress over the proposed repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell might force families to explain homosexuality.
Oh, my God!
He told his reporters that no one in his district has raised the issue with him. But he says he still doesn't think the discussion is family-friendly enough. My biggest concern are the families. Okay.
How about the homosexual families?
I don't. How does he explain all the heterosexual shenanigans going on in the world?
David Vitter. Explain David Vitter.
Yeah, can I explain
there
that
ain't
to
no
your
explaining
kid?
That.
Daddy, what's a four-hour erection?
Oh, shut up. Ask your mother. No, she wouldn't know either.
Yeah. By the way, can I just say whatever, is it Cialis? Whatever commercial that is, it frightens and confuses me where the background keeps changing.
Yeah.
How do you suddenly become twin bathtubs on the beach?
The walls are collapsing. We should start dancing awkwardly now. I think they're on 36-hour acid is what's going on there.
Who gets turned on doing laundry?
Since
nobody.
Oh,
I see it's a small load. Maybe we can do it by hand. Wow.
Oh, nice tomatoes.
Huh?
There's the one with the tomatoes where he shows the tomatoes.
What
to his
channels
wife
are you guys watching? I have never seen these commercials.
Him and I are on the same commercials.
MSNBC.
Yeah.
Oh, well, see, that's why, because I don't watch MSNBC.
I don't understand them, Jim. Do you? What things keep like it's like a some sort of acid flashback or something? Like the everything.
Well,
the scenes keep changing.
Yeah. It's a,
what does that have to do with an erection? I don't understand. It's just their hands touch, Chris, like accidentally. They're doing laundry or something,
well,
and then suddenly...
There's one where the wife is standing on the ladder, and she's got, quite a nice
And then suddenly she's bent over the washing machine?
No, that's a
no.
That's a different commercial.
Oh.
No.
And then the other one shows the tomatoes and the thing. And
what's
the
sexy about being in separate bathtubs on the beach?
I've never understood that.
Huh?
All right.
What are you going to do with your, you know...
Exactly. What's going to happen there? All right.
It's going to go right through the bathtub? Wow, that is...
if I'm just going to do it to myself, what do I need Cialis for? That's my point.
Wow. I need to watch MSNBC more often.
You know what? Here's the problem. When I get in a ditch, you guys just help me keep driving further. You don't help me out of the ditch.
Oh, God,
you
know, no.
In a Cialis ditch.
No.
All right. Let's.
No, someone else can get the shovel.
Let's go to Von Ziel in Asheville. She'll help me. Hello, Von Ziel.
Good morning, Mama and Mooks.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, y'all are like talking about my life this morning. What was the Cialis and the explaining things to children and
oh, listen,
how helpful you have been.
I met your hot French husband this weekend in Asheville. He don't need no stinking Cialis.
You are so sweet. No, he. You know, now that I am middle-aged, he does say, well, you know I'm French. So, not to worry. But anyway, I didn't call about me. Mm-hmm. I called about Carly Fiorina.
Oh,
my God. I heard her on the news last night, but, you know, I listened to your show so much more assiduously, so much more, you know,
yes,
carefully, that her voice should disqualify her from public office because it just drips with entitlement and arrogance. And
I know. Isn't that true, Bunce? That's what I was saying is, you know, when someone thinks they're off camera, I mean, that's who she really is. You're like, wow, look at her. She's like this entitled bitch that just thinks that, you know, everyone should agree with everything she says. I mean, it's almost like she was just snapping orders at people, right?
I want to shout over toward the West, people of California, stop.
Yeah.
Don't even think about it.
Yeah, don't even
anyway,
go there. All right, Bud Seal.
Good luck to y'all in the election.
All right, thank you, honey. What do you think, Jim? I just am going, man, I don't think I've ever seen a stumble this soon out of the gate. I mean, it's just like they must be partying in Barbara Boxer's office. I'm just like, oh, my God.
Well, for her supporters, I mean, that's what they expect to see from her. Good,
right.
She's one of us. She's
an entitled bitch. She's one of us.
We want someone really shallow that mostly criticizes her opponent's hair because that's
what's important in a race.
She ruined everything in the Year of the Woman, Jim. Now she's made us all look bad. Now we all look like catty bitches. Thanks
year
a lot.
Of the catty bitch.
Now we can't have nice things. All right. Ken Salazar, Interior Secretary.
The place where the President of the United States and I have arrived at this issue is we have put the pause button until we can have a sense of safety that this is never going to happen again. Now, when we lift our hand from the pause button, we'll be dependent on when we can get to that point.
You know, Jim, I'm starting to agree with you on the Ken Salazar thing in terms of, you know, the problem is I think the president, as many of us have said, has had an awful lot on his plate. So the fact that, you know, these kind of regulations were not something that got fixed right away. But you're right. It was Salazar's job.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know,
and he was pushing for the more offshore drilling and Obama shouldn't have gone along with it.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, when you know, at some point when we get to the whole rundown here of who's responsible for what, you know, maybe that does have to be looked at. Representative Steve Cohen, Democrat of Tennessee.
BP's going to be known in the future as biggest polluter, and they certainly shouldn't be paying dividends to their investors or advertising, because no amount of advertising can cover up the stink and the smell that BP has caused in the Gulf, in this country, and to their name.
Yep. You know, I don't mean to minimize the awful human suffering, the, you know, obviously the men killed and just the unbelievable impact this is going to have on people. But, you know me, I'm the biggest animal lover, and these pictures of animals are literally, like, it's making
horrible.
Me sick
yeah.
or making me want to cry. And some, it's just, you can't, I mean, and that's the problem, is some pictures are more powerful than others, and it's just these pictures of.
Well, that's why they don't want you to see them.
Yeah, these birds, and I don't know if you saw this NBC report, NBC reporter Kerry Sanders, was saying the area is covered with a thick, goopy oil that is hot because the oil absorbs the heat of the sun.
Oh, my God.
And, you know, that they normally have insulation, but when oil gets in the feathers, they lose that insulation. When you have this oil at 100-plus degrees, the bird experts say it begins to literally cook the birds.
Oh, my God.
I mean, it's just, you know, when you see them struggling and, you know, it's like we did this to them, along with this entire ecosystem. It just makes you I mean, it makes you literally sick.
And the birds are harder to find in this marshland environment than it was up in Prince William Sound, because all these animals are in amongst the grasses there. And,
yeah.
You know, at least in Prince William Sound, it was a rocky coast, and you could see the struggling animals easily, you know, pluck them up and clean them off.
Yeah.
And it's hard to find inside all of this marshland.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw the diver that went in and just said, I've never seen anything like this in my life. And what it takes to scrape it off to even get back in the boat, the problem is, you know, animals can't do that. They can't get it off themselves. And so, you know, it's just awful. And they end up suffocating or whatever. I mean, Susan in Seattle, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome, Suze.
Good morning. I wanted to say that the reason there's no progress in the United States on the use of solar technology is the patent holders are BP Solar and ExxonMobil. So if we mandated that we use more solar, BP would reap the profits.
Hmm. Mm. God.
Yeah, great. So, just what we're hoping for. Let's go to Taj in Pennsylvania. Hey, Taj, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Hey, I wanted to talk to you guys about how the right wing doesn't want big government to do anything, but as soon as something goes wrong, then where's the government?
Right.
They didn't want government in our health care, but as soon as a private corporation does something, creates a disaster, not like a natural disaster like Katrina or anything like that, but a private corporation creates a disaster, they want the president to show that he's in charge and show some emotion and shed a few tears like the fake ones Bush showed on the pile of dirt at 9/11. So that's, you know...
Taj, you're right. I mean, it really is. I mean, we shouldn't be surprised, but it is sort of stunning hypocrisy. This is the drill crowd that put these regulations into place, and somehow they've just left BP out of the whole equation. Have you seen that? Now it's like, we want small government. Oh, now the government's not doing anything, you know what I mean? And there's nothing, BP has no responsibility somehow in there.
Yeah. I was watching Hannity last night, and Juan Williams, who I really don't like that much because he agrees with Hannity all the time, but he actually, you know, said, hey, Bush and Cheney have a ton of blame on this once again. And, you know, it's like, and then you hear the right wing say, oh, when are you going to take responsibility? Well, when we have to finish cleaning up after the last 8 years of retardation. So that's, you know.
Yeah. By the way, did Sean Hannity say anything about Carly Fiorina? Just out of curiosity.
No,
we didn't
he didn't say anything. No. Maybe go to the bunny ranch again.
Yeah, you know how he is.
Because you know how he is. That's why he didn't say anything, Chris. Has Rebecca called Carly Fiorina's office yet? Stephanie Miller wants to know, what does she mean? How is Sean Hannity? We'll have to do a whole interview. If we could just answer that question, we'd be happy.
I'm sure we would get a swift no comment.
Hmm.
We wouldn't even get through.
Yeah, we wouldn't get through.
Who's calling? Oh, never mind.
Yeah, we're not from the right-wing station. Yeah.
We have a lot of fans in West Hollywood. I urge every hairdresser we know in West Hollywood to call Carly Fiorina's office.
Yeah, and criticize her hair.
And give your opinion of Barbara Boxer's hair, since that seems to be the main issue she's concerned with,
you know,
on behalf of the state of California.
Carly Fiorina used to have hair exactly like Barbara Boxer's.
Yeah. Well, that's why it's so yesterday. 45 minutes after the hour. Back with more on The Spill as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant!
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
If you have half a brain.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. 50 minutes after the hour. Mike Papantonio, attorney extraordinaire, coming up in just a few minutes to update us on all the latest with BP. And then we have John Yarmuth, the great congressman from Kentucky. After that. Okay. Charles in Los Angeles. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Charles.
Hi. Stephanie, yeah, the problem is the media's been polluted by this right-wing toxic talk. And that's all they're doing is repeating their talk.
That's the author of the new Bill Press book. Pick it up today, won't you?
The title of the new
book. That's right.
Yes.
So instead of giving out good information like whitehouse.gov, you can go there, find out what the White House has been doing every day since the spill. You can see the speeches the president has given since April. All that is right there on whitehouse.gov. People that want to help out right. or give suggestions, it's all right there. But rather than give out that information, they'll tell you some wisecrack Sarah Palin said.
Well, you know, Charles, Keith Olbermann has this promo that he does for a show, but I love it. He said, the object is to throw off light, not heat. Mm-hmm. And I think that he's sincere in that, but I think, a lot of the, right wing in particular, it's the opposite. It's, when they want to keep screaming, what's the president doing? They're not trying to, you're right, they could go to whitehouse.gov and tell you, but they're not interested in telling you. They're interested in throwing off heat. Right.
Yeah, it's terrible. They're not doing their job, so that's why the president was right when he's made the statement about the cable news. They're just not informing the public.
Right. As someone that's on cable news a lot, I can attest to that. That's why they're called ass bites. They're things you pull out of your ass that then become sound bites.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if with this merry band of liberal talk shows like you, hardly anything would get out.
Exactly.
We're a merry band.
I am the sole voice of truth, justice, and the American way. That was the point of that whole.
Republicans want to have it both ways,
yes,
though. At the same, they're trying to paint Obama as a socialist, communist, Muslim terrorist.
Right.
At the same time, saying that he's too close to the oil companies.
Yeah,
which he is. But you
and obviously, he's too much of a corporatist, or we wouldn't have been drilling there in the first place. I know.
Yeah,
I know.
Pick one.
Yeah. And stick with it, Mary in Long Island. Hi, Mayor.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah, the Republicans love to say, why are you always looking back at the Bush administration? That's like a big duh. We're still cleaning up the mess from the Bush administration. And it's gonna
says, World War II is over. We stop blaming Hitler? No.
Yeah. Also, as a C-SPAN listener in the morning, I know a lot of the calls they're not thrilled with these with Carly Fiorina and Meg Whitman. They see them as corporatists. Forget about female. They said, oh, sure, just what we need, more rich corporate people in government. No thanks. They really are even from the independents. They see right through it.
Oh, my God, especially with this latest catty bitchy thing that Carly Fiorina did. It's like, could she make women look worse? First of all, she's hugely incompetent. She ran a company into the ground. She outsourced jobs. She took care of herself with a big golden parachute. And now this.
I find it really surprising that on the first day of the general, Meg Whitman's going on Sean Hannity. Did you hear that? I think it's bizarre. I mean, she's never been on Sean Hannity. I think it's a very bad choice, actually. You know how he is.
Huh?
Lauda saw Barbara Boxer briefly on television this morning and said what everyone says. God, what is that hair? So yesterday.
Doesn't she have her own hairstylist?
She seriously sounds like, Thurston and Lovey Howell, doesn't she?
Yep.
I mean, it's almost like a central casting.
Yeah.
Just that laugh. Oh, oh, so yes,
isn't it awful? I'm not being condescending. I'm being demeaning.
I don't sound all out of touch, do I?
The ladies who lunch at the club are laughing at Barbara Boxer.
Oh, God. Let's shove her into the lockers. Wow.
No, they would pay someone to shove her into the lockers.
Yeah, they wouldn't do it. They'd muscle
you know
their
what?
Hair
like a sweat.
If I were Barbara Boxer, maybe I'll give her a ring ding later today. I would just run that tape as her campaign ad. I think that's, you know what I mean? Like some great clip of Barbara Boxer doing something great for, the people of California on the Senate floor and then just cut to. And look at her hair.
And show a graph of how BP, not BP, Hewlett Packard went into the toilet.
Yeah, exactly.
While she's talking about Barbara Boxer's hair.
Oh, Barbara Boxer's hair. I mean, really, it's so yesterday.
Can I just say something about Carly Fiorina's political career? I think it's going to be so yesterday.
Yeah, I think.
Exactly. I think that's so 5 minutes ago already.
Maybe just cut to Barbara Boxer pointing at Fiorina saying, really? You're kidding, right?
Yeah.
This is what you got?
Oh, boy. All right. Let's do a little celebrity stack. Justin Bieber loves to YouTube and Google himself.
Huh? I bet.
You know what? See, I do not have the self-esteem for that. Apparently some people do. Do you know I cannot watch YouTube clips of me? I am not a fan of myself at all. My hair is awful. It's so yesterday. I mean,
it's
last century.
What were you thinking?
I don't know. And Googling yourself. Oh, dear God. Oh, do not. God. Anybody can say anything on the interwebs. Yeah. I don't understand why I can't control that.
Well, have your empire take care
yeah.
of
it.
Yes.
Stephanie Miller International. Scrub.
Somebody.
Scrub
like,
all.
How come when I bark orders, nobody does anything? When Carly Fiorina does it, people... I mean, I'm driving this company into the ground. Why doesn't someone listen to me at least?
Are you CEO of Stephanie Miller International?
I don't think so. I don't really know.
What is the power structure of Stephanie Miller International?
There is no structure. That's why it's not really successful.
Just a gelatinous mass oozing all over the place.
You shush before I outsource your jobs. Both of you.
All right, fine.
Outsource your job to North Korea.
All right.
You could use the work.
I'll just outsource Jim to North Korea and make him do the whole show as Kim Jong-il every day. All right. TMZ says a tabloid bought 4 pictures of Gary Coleman in the hospital bed on life support.
Oh.
They confirm his ex-wife, Shannon, is the one who hired a production company to take the pictures of him.
Oh, no. God.
And she shopped the tabloid pictures to the tabloids.
I think it was the Globe that bought them.
Oh, dear. That's becoming very distasteful, isn't it?
Very distasteful.
In other sad news, another Gore marriage on the ropes. The eldest daughter of Alan Tipper Gore has, Karina, is that her name? Karina has separated from her husband, Andrew Schiff, for a couple of months. So
she's available. Sorry.
How did I know that's where Jim was going to go with that?
She's cute.
She is cute.
The end of every story is somehow a howdy-do rainbow for Jim Ward. A howdy-do, my. I must be next in line.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour, we are thrilled and delighted that Mike Papantonio.
I'm sure she would love that. Oh, yes, Mike Papantonio.
Yes. He can tell us what's what and who's who. Lawyer extraordinaire, we'll talk about the BP spill with us next as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Do what I do, kids. Protect your irreplaceable computer files with Carbonite Online Backup. Don't wait. Start backing up your computer today with Carbonite. Go to Carbonite.com. Use the offer code Stephanie for my special offer. A 15-day free trial plus 2 months free with any subscription. That's Carbonite.com. Offer code Stephanie. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Crystal Boy, voice deity Jim Ward, me, Stephanie Miller. Don't forget Mama on the Ed Show tomorrow night on MSNBC. Speaking of people that are on MSNBC every minute of every day, it's Mike Papantonio. Attorney extraordinaire from Ring of Fire. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, Stephanie, how are you? Saw you the other night, as a matter of fact. You're out there, too. Plenty.
Listen, I wish there was a Mike Papantonio channel because...
Well, you know, I told somebody the other day, I'm starting to feel like the oil guy.
The oil guy.
Yeah, I go from doing politics to being the oil guy. But, you know, that's okay. This is an important story.
Especially Mike... And, you know, I think the one thing is, you know, it's not just that you're an attorney and you're really deeply involved in this and you know what you're talking about, but I think you're also expressing the rage that many people are feeling.
Yeah, we're all feeling. You know, they have a new sociopath out there, Stephanie, this Doug Suttles. Followed this guy. He's been out there a while, but actually they've had Hayward out there really doing the real sociopath stuff. But this is a guy that settled the other day said, you know, this all this stuff about there being subsurface oil slicks is ridiculous. We don't know where they are. You know, we haven't seen them. It's not possible. Now, this is the same guy you might remember who we caught in just an absolute, just square off lie. He was the guy that said that that the company had never produced more than 5,000 barrels per day. You remember that? He's on the phone, and he said, so he's out there telling about, look, we have never produced more than 5,000 barrels a day at this site. So we certainly, that's as big as the problem can possibly be. So yesterday, we hear, well, no, we've captured 15,000 barrels a day. That's what we're capturing now. So it goes from the idea we've never produced 5,000 barrels to today we're capturing 15,000 barrels on shore. And then his response to that is, we never said that the well produced. We never said that the well produced 5,000 barrels per day. I'm sorry if you heard it that way. So I guess the point I'm making is sometimes the real sign of a sociopath is when they can tell a story, they can look into a camera, and they can say it just like it's the dadgum truth. And that's what's happening with BP.
Yeah.
It's just such a sick story that's unfolding.
Mike, for those of you, people that have just tuned in, you're going to be involved in lawsuits for this. You're suing on behalf of who and against BP. Can you explain what you're doing exactly?
Yeah, well, I think the most important story is we're bringing a RICO case today. The RICO case is a case that you use it for organized crime. In Florida, we just happen to have something called a civil RICO case. A lot of states have it, but Florida has one of the most aggressive RICO statutes. Now, in this case, what we're saying is that there is a concert of efforts between mineral management, people like Dick Cheney, the oil industry, to have brought all this back. In order for this to happen, somebody had to do some terrible things. But if you just go forward with the pure negligence case, you never get to talk about that. So we're stepping up tremendously. We're bringing a case that the U.S. government will probably end up bringing in criminal court. We're bringing it in civil court. And we're using the same methodology that you would use to go after a drug cartel or mobsters. And so we think we can do it. We know we can do it. The documents are overwhelmingly favorable to the idea of a RICO case. Every day we get new documents in. You read the documents and you say, God, I can't believe somebody put that in an email. And
right.
You're talking to somebody who handled the tobacco cases. I've handled every major pharmaceutical case you can talk about, and I've never seen this type of ugly culpability. This is a thug criminal company.
Mike, there's obviously a lot of people asking questions that we're not sure we know the answers to legally. I mean, for instance, you've heard BP's stock is going down, this, that. I mean, and people are saying, can the government seize their assets? And should they do it before, God forbid, they go bankrupt and they can't pay for any of this? What do you think?
Yes, they can. They absolutely can. Look, this president has the authority to nationalize this company. I mean, this is the equivalent of a nuclear plant melting down, or it's the equivalent of being invaded by our shores. So he can take really extraordinary measures. Can he seize their assets? Yes. Stephanie, let me tell you what he could do. He could go get the tankers that BP won't bring over to suck this stuff up out of the Gulf. He could go get the tankers, bring them over here, and he could nationalize this company.
Why won't he, Mike? Politically? Politically?
It's totally political. Right now, Cameron, if you'll follow in the story today, Cameron's over here saying, look, BP's not such a bad company. If BP goes down, UK pensions will go down. UK pensions are heavily invested into BP. And Cameron is there saying, their prime minister, he's saying, look, if you don't give BP a break, you can deep six our pension programs, you can deep six our economy. So the truth is, there is this angst that's developing between Americans and the UK. If you take a look and go online, you're going to see that now there's this notion that the UK needs to step up and they need to help solve this problem. And the political strings are something that Obama's got to overcome. He's almost got to ignore Cameron, and he's got to say, look, we have to deal with what we have. I'm sorry about your pension programs, but we have people that have been murdered, have died. We got an ecosystem that's disappearing. We got to deal with this.
Right. Time for a second revolution, it sounds like.
Well, Nothing little short of that, really. I mean,
well, I mean, Mike, what, you know, I think the question too is, you know, again, in a lot of phrases overused, but the, you know, the whole we're leaving criminals in charge of the crime scene. I mean, what, I mean, are you saying the president should just push them out in entirely right now?
Completely. What, here's what he can do. Here's some ideas that are on the table, legitimate ideas. This is not Mike Papantonio just talking and making stuff. These are legitimate ideas that are on the table. What he can do, he can say to Exxon and Shell, look, guys, I'm going to give you a no-bid contract. I'm going to have you come in and clean up this mess. And after you clean up the mess, you give a bill to this U.S. government, and we're going to collect it for you against against BP. He can do that. As I said, he can go get their equipment and do it. But he has.
How do we know that Shell or Exxon or whoever would do a better job?
Well, I think that, well, Shell's, the, if you think about it, this Hoffmeister that's all over the air right now, Hoffmeister's the guy that engineered the cleanup in the Saudi Arabian Gulf. He cleaned up 700 million gallons of a Shell spill in Saudi Arabia. 700 million gallons. He got 85% of it cleaned up. He's the one that's been saying, where are the cleanup super tankers? They have a super tanker that's geared to doing this. They have a particular equipment that's geared to doing it. Look, when Thad Allen, who has become, this guy's suffering from Stockholm syndrome. I'm telling you, he's completely bought into everything that's BP. It's like he has so bought into him that we're not even getting good decisions out of Thad Allen right now. But so Hoffmeister said, we need to bring these tankers in. Allen said, oh gee, we can't do that, because there's no room for them to move around in the Gulf. I mean, you know, you listen to a response like that, and you go, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. Well, where did you get this thing? Mm-hmm. And so Hoffmeister is the guy. If I were Obama, I'd say, Hoffmeister, put your team together. Do the same thing that you did in Saudi Arabia. Come here to the Gulf and clean it up. And then we're going to give a bill to BP. And if they don't pay it, then fine. We're going to take their company, because he has the right to do it. U.S. statute allows him to do that.
Mike, why, in your personal opinion, does the president not do what you're talking about?
Because he's surrounded by bumpkins, Stephanie. It's the same thing we have seen from where, it's the same thing we saw in the financial industry with Geithner and Summers. Where in the hell do those guys come from? They come from the industry that created the toxic meltdown. Now we have Salazar, for example, running the program here for Interior. This is a guy who was hated by environmentalists. The only people who wanted Salazar were Republicans.
I don't know who it was yesterday, Mike, but, you know, the pictures of the animals are sure hitting home for me. And they were saying, you know, we've seen, the price of bipartisanship. We've seen animals covered in it, you know.
Right. That's exactly right. They're coming up on shore right now, just about every day, right where I live. So, you know, it hits home really, really closely. But, I mean, the problem that Obama has got, I've got to see something more than his brainiac side. He's got to understand, first of all, he has to look around and understand he surrounded himself with the same people that Bill Clinton and George Bush surrounded themselves with. There's no difference in these people. And
yeah, maybe the asses he needs to kick are a little closer than he thinks.
Well, exactly.
Doesn't have to go far.
He doesn't have to go very far at all. But the truth is, until he can get that in his head, that the people that are advising him are the corporatists, the same corporatists that have been around for 8 years, and I don't know why he doesn't see it. I don't know what it takes for this guy to come back to reality, but he has to do that soon. Or he's gonna
I know what it takes, and say it with me, Mike Papantonio, Interior Secretary. That's what it is.
That would be a Bobby. How about Bobby Kennedy, Interior?
I can do that. Bobby Kennedy Jr., Absolutely. Interior Secretary. Yeah. Very nice.
And maybe an AG with a lot of anger. I'd love to do that one. But, you know, the truth is, right now, this is a huge it's a turning point for Obama. Obama didn't pick up Louisiana in the last election. He certainly didn't pick up Texas. He didn't pick up Mississippi. He didn't pick up Alabama. But he sure picked up Florida. And right now, even in North Florida, as Republican it is, where I live is like a haven for teabagger Republicans. But the truth is, the rest of the state went with Obama last time. Now, you know, he can lose Louisiana, Mississippi, Texas, and Alabama again. He can lose and still have a second term. he can't lose Florida. So right now, if I were Obama, my focus would be trying to figure out how in the hell to get a flotilla of barges, a flotilla of super tankers, a flotilla of skimmers all along this coast and say to Florida, we're going to save your beaches. If he doesn't do that, he is in such big trouble, mm-hmm. Stephanie. I can't even it's not about midterm elections. It's about right. a second-term presidency.
Mike, what do we do if this, you know, it's true that this top kill has made things worse and there's underwater ruptures now? I mean, what the hell? We're in Armageddon, aren't we?
Well, the problem with the top kill is they knew that, you know, from the word go, we started hearing, gee, this has potential to be a disaster. The bigger disaster than that, if the oil coming to the surface, there is a way to get control of it. The biggest problem is the dispersants. You had Thad Allen allow BP to put in 1 million gallons of dispersants. Now, here's the problem.
Yeah, he is a battered commandant at this
oh
point.
Oh, my
we have to,
God. He's awful. I'm telling you.
I trust BP. Yeah.
He is suffering from Stockholm syndrome. There's no other way to describe it. But when he allowed them to put 1 million gallons of dispersants, what that did is it caused all the oil to sit below the surface. We have oil. We have oil columns, you know, from 300 feet to 150 feet to 1,000 feet. They're all over the Gulf right now. They're moving in different directions. They usually follow what they call thermocline water columns. And so they might get picked up in the loop. They might head to the west. They might head north. We don't know. But the truth is that was something that Thad Allen is squarely responsible for. Everybody was telling him, don't load up on the dispersants. We're better with this gusher coming to the surface and then dealing with it at the surface. Now if we bring in tankers, how does the tanker get the oil at 300 feet?
Right.
And
right.
That's a huge problem, and there's no way to ignore why that happened. It happened because Obama surrounded himself with bumpkins. Rather than the Hoffmeister type, he had the Thad Allens.
Mike, you are awesome. One last question as an attorney. Is there any chance we could stuff Jorn Vandersloot in the hole at this point? Would that be a solution you could get behind?
Very, very good possibility. how about this Alvin Green, the South Carolina Democrat that nobody knows who he is? You know, he's
right.
showing it. But, yeah, there's a lot of people we'd love to stalk this stuff.
We got some nominations.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mike Papantonio, the main threat I issue to people now that piss me off is I know Mike Papantonio. So you keep on doing the Lord's work, my friend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks a lot, Stephanie.
All right, there he goes. Ringoffire.com, a link to that up on StephanieMiller.com,
that's right.
Correct?
Yeah.
21 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
A perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Oh, pardon me. I'm sorry to know the microphone. I'm so sorry. Okay.
Were you talking about Barbara Boxer's hair again?
Yes, I was. 26 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Let's go to Tracy in North Dakota on the oil spill. Hey, Tracy, welcome.
Yes, but quickly about Barbara, that other gal. She reminds me of Jane Fonda in Monster in Law.
Yes!
Barbara Max was about to go J-Lo on her ass. All right, go ahead.
Yeah, and I love Jane Fonda, but on the oil spill. The government, you know, is not an oil company, so I understand they have to, you know, bring in people and get it done. By the way, I love Papantonio in there. He's the man in charge. But
he's great.
Isn't he? Oh.
Yeah, he's awesome. So, but I think they ought to, you know, all this oil that is being collected and we're going to, you know, BP is probably engineered this so they could get the profits off of all this oil. That needs to go into a fund. And so for those men who lost their lives and everyone who's losing their livelihood is going to end up getting all the, you know, royalty money and stuff lifelong off that wealth. But I hope that becomes part of it, where those people who are losing their lives, you know, are going to reap the rewards off that well with the income off the oil throughout the
life. Absolutely. Dave in Orange County on the Woman of the Hour, the not-ready-for-primetime Senate candidate, Carly Fiorina. Hello, Dave.
Hey, Steph. Hey, don't be ripping on Carly. I'm registered Republican. I voted for Carly. I couldn't figure out a better person to go against Barbara Boxer. Everybody hates Carly. The tech industry hates her, what she did to HP. The tech workers and workers in general hate her because she promised on the Compaq merger she wasn't going to lay anybody off and promptly outsourced 20,000 jobs right after.
Yep.
Investors hate her because she took the stock down 60%.
Wow.
The best move in HP stock was when she left. It popped up. The conservative business people, they just love somebody who makes a scene when they're asked to go spend more time with their family.
You're breaking a minute early.
Yeah, I know.
And the conservatives in general, social conservatives, why, they just love overcompensating uppity women. Look, with Barbara Boxer, they gave her a stink because she insisted on being called senator. Can you imagine making a slight against Carly?
Give me a... All right. I'm not sure what his whole point was. But by the way, Fiorina was asked if she would cut 10,000 jobs if she were still CEO of Hewlett-Packard. She said, why, yes, of course. I would... Without any hesitation, she says, of course, she would do it again.
Hmm.
She might be able to do for California what she did for Hewlett-Packard. Wouldn't that be magic? during her time as HP CEO, she was a fierce defender of offshoring American jobs, referring to the practice as right-shoring.
Right-shoring? How is that right?
Wow. She is right for California, my
friend.
Right
for Kuala Lumpur.
Oh, and you know who else in the midst of this environmental disaster? James Inhofe. Big fan. Big Carly fan. We'll tell you about that as we continue. And Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky as we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Could you turn that racket down? I'm trying to iron in here.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Representative John Yarmuth, our good friend from the great state of Kentucky, joins us now. Good morning, Congressman.
Hey, Stephanie.
So good to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
Well, you know, we've obviously been talking about the oil spill, like many people have this morning. You know, we've just had Mike Papantonio on, which I'm sure you've seen him on TV a lot, the lawyer involved.
Right.
It's going to be a lot in a lot of this litigation. It's interesting. He keeps talking again. We've heard about this, about, you know, that we need to bring tankers in. It sounds like, you know, we're just now starting to do this. It's his opinion. The president really needs to take this over now, that he needs to, I don't know whether it's seizing their assets, BP, but I mean, at this point, we can't count on anything they say to be true, can we?
No, you're absolutely correct on that. And one of the things, we had a meeting yesterday with the speaker and several other members of leadership, and that was one of the concerns. We've got a bill that we're going to be voting on in the House today that would actually, do things like raise the cap on liability and so forth in BP. And one of the things that we were concerned about that several members raised was, you know, that the American people will not believe that we're going to be able to make BP pay for things. And so the idea that we would be advancing Treasury funds or taxpayer dollars to help on some of these, to mitigate some of these losses, and then hope to get it back from BP is something we've got to get credibility on. And I think we need to start considering that, whether we want to freeze funds that BP has on deposit here. The fact that there have been a number of cases that are really disturbing. One family that had documented losses of they had done last May, they had $27,000 worth of income in May. This is a father and his four sons in shrimp boating, and BP wrote him a check for $5,000. Well, how are they supposed to survive with that kind of thing? And another guy had $60,000 worth of revenue documented, and they haven't paid him anything because they've set up this elaborate process and all the red tape they're making these people jump through. Well, That's totally unacceptable. And they're spending $50 million running ads saying we're going to make every, you know, we're going to make good on all this stuff. Well, that's bull. I mean, they aren't doing it, and we need to make sure that they do.
And Congressman, you know who is getting checks from BP is a lot of these Republican congressmen, like David Vitter, who not really even sure why he's still in Congress. But anyway, he, of course, taking big checks from BP. And he's saying that the deepwater, the moratorium on drilling will cause more devastation than BP's oil spill. How do you even respond to that?
Well, you know, he needs to answer to every one of the young people in this country who's watching and mortified at the damage that they're seeing in the Pelicans dying, and say, and have him make the case to the future generations that money and oil is more important than nature. You know, that's just not a rational argument in this day and age. But that clearly delineates where the Republican Party is. And it's not only the Republican Party. I mean, some of my Democratic colleagues are in that, unfortunately, in that same game as well. But for the most part, you know, the Republicans have been doing big oil's bidding for a long time, and big oil wrote the energy policy under the Bush administration and Dick Cheney. And I mean, in the Dick Cheney report, you probably have discussed this at some time on the air, the Dick Cheney energy report that his group put out several years ago said there was zero chance of this type of thing happening.
Yep.
Zero chance. And so that's what's at the heart of it.
Turned out to be just a little bit off that percentage.
A little bit off. So for Vitter to make that argument's outrageous, and you know, fortunately they're not in control of Congress, and they won't be after this November, and then saner minds who have broader interests at heart will prevail. And we're committed to making sure BP pays for all of the damages they've created here.
But how can you even, I mean, you know, who's this other guy, Republican, Pennsylvania Republican Senate nominee Pat Toomey joined the drill club, saying that Obama went too far in stopping new drilling. How can, in the midst of this disaster, you even be thinking the number one priority is to start drilling again?
Oh, well, it's the alternative universe that some people live in around here. But again, I think you hit on the key point. These are people who have taken huge sums of money from the oil interests, and they are beholden to them. The sane person who is not influenced, not bought and paid for, wouldn't say stuff like that. And that's just the world we live in. And unfortunately, because you know nobody on their side of the philosophical spectrum or in the Fox News silo believes anything we say, they can get away with saying that stuff, and they'll find an audience for it. But I think that the polling numbers are I think reflecting where the American people are. The support for offshore drilling is plunging dramatically now, which it should. And so they're going to be on the wrong side of of politics and the wrong side of history.
Yeah, and Congressman, you know, I the media starts to get a storyline that Democrats are going to take a drubbing in 2010. And I say hold on there, because we got to be very careful about, you know, think very carefully about what would happen if Republicans get in. I mean, I don't know if I'm sure you've heard about Carly Fiorina's first stumble out of the gate, but more importantly, if she did.
I don't know if call me crazy, but her hair didn't look too swift either.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, I was not impressed.
Since she opened up the subject, Congressman.
That's right, exactly. No, that's outrageous. But that's exactly, you've hit on an important point, that they are time after time nominating people to represent the Republican Party who are going to be out of touch and are going to be way out of the mainstream. And ultimately, every election is a choice. And
right. Well, but the other thing I was going to say, to talk about just beyond everything else about her, it's wrong on the issues. I mean, James, in the middle of the biggest environmental disaster in our history, James Inhofe gave Fiorina an early endorsement. He said Fiorina is supporting what I'm supporting. He elaborated Fiorina supports both eviscerating the EPA's ability to enforce the Clean Air Act and that she's supportive of his belief in terms of the whole global warming hoax. He then added that he's very proud of her. I mean,
you're exactly right. The you know, in my own district, we had four Republicans running in the primary to challenge me. One of them was somebody who is a Pizza Hut franchisee. He has a fair amount of money, could have helped finance his own campaign. He was the choice of the National Republican campaign committee, and he finished third in the race. And the two people.
Yeah, I love the party that, you know, they have people that can spend $71 million of their own money to buy a seat, and they're the party of the people.
Yeah,
huh?
Exactly. Yeah. So, yeah. So, you know, and I got somebody who, my opponent is somebody who said, well, you know, President Obama couldn't pass a security clearance test, and they're saying such crazy things that I, you know, it's great to win a Republican primary, and of course we have Rand Paul giving us a gift every every day or two.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Yes.
Congressman, let's talk about the economy and jobs. You know, I know job creation. I know the good news is like job openings are up, job creation highest in 16 months. I mean, again, we're heading in the right direction, right?
We are, and it was interesting. One of the big banks, economists from one of the big banks, I think it was Chase, said today that actually, even though that 411,000 jobs were in May were created for census workers part time, that they actually the census undermined, unfortunately, private job creation because people went to work for the census rather than taking some jobs that were available in the private sector. So there are more opportunities in the private sector. There were 29,000 new manufacturing jobs created in May, which is that part of the economy that we really need to get moving again. And the average over the last 5 months has been about 140,000 jobs created every month, and that's, you know, when you look at if we can finish the year at that rate, there will be more jobs created in the United States in 2010 than in the entire Bush administration, the entire 8 years of the Bush administration. And the Bush administration, this is something that most people don't realize, in 8 years created zero private sector jobs net.
Yeah, yeah.
They created
something. Just a little fun fact for all the Republicans screaming about how these aren't private sector jobs.
Right.
Yeah,
all the net jobs created in the Bush administration were government jobs.
Yeah, unbelievable, unbelievable. I mean, it's just like in the midst of this oil disaster, smaller government, where's the government? Why are, it's just, I mean, the hypocrisy
I have a lot of Republican business people come to my office and say that we need smaller government, stay out of our lives, and then ask for one tax credit after another, as if a tax credit is not something the government does and doesn't have the same impact on the deficit as a dollar spent. I mean, they're exactly the same, but somehow when you're stimulating, giving money to the private sector or having corporate welfare, that's different than spending money on housing or education or even food stamps.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. Representative John Yarmuth of the great state of Kentucky, thanks so much for your time, as always.
Okay, Stephanie. Good to talk to you.
All right, see you next time. There he goes. Oh, yeah, Julie had sent me this breaking news this morning. Job creation highest in 16 months. Steph, the good news is job openings are up to the highest level in 16 months, no less. Unfortunately, the other good news for America may also be bad news for Stephanie Miller International.
Huh?
Workers who are unsatisfied with their miserable, underpaid, psychologically and sexually abusive jobs are getting up the nerve to quit again. The number of quitters have exceeded layoffs now for 3 months, and 2 million of these miserable, underappreciated ingrates quit their jobs in April to head for greener pastures. Don't think about it.
I'm just worried about Rebecca out there.
She's probably already quit while I was reading that.
Yeah, I think so. Hello.
Hey, wait a minute.
She's like, any pastor has to be greener than this. 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's really weird, but it's also the coolest thing I've ever heard in my whole life.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Rock on.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it.
Are you okay?
Okay. 50 minutes after the hour.
You weren't in that chair like 5 seconds ago. What? Where were?
I was giving you a Skype freakout, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were, as usual.
Tomorrow, don't forget Joe Rome. Am I saying that right?
Rome.
Joe Rome, environmentalist with the Center for American
Not
Progress.
Not Jim Rome.
No, That was a disastrous interview. Who knew it wasn't Jim Rome? Economist Christian Weller, Representative Jackie Speer of California, and, of course, Fridays with John Fugelsang here in the New York Bureau.
Great.
Yay! All right, oh, let's play us some Carly one more time. Wah, wah. Carly Fiorina, who does not understand that the camera and the microphones and the flavin?
I find it really surprising that on the first day of the general, Meg Whitman's going on Sean Hannity.
That is surprising.
Did you hear that? I think it's bizarre. I mean, she's never been on Sean Hannity. I think it's a very bad choice, actually. You know how he is.
Huh? How is he?
Lauda saw Barbara Boxer briefly on television this morning.
Really? Do
and
tell.
Said what everyone says, God, what is that hair? So yesterday.
I just cannot hear that sound enough. Oh, I think we're going to have to isolate that laugh.
Yeah.
We're going to need that for the campaign.
Oh, Juanita, mas mojitos, por favor.
Oh, God, it's that disgusting fake party laugh. No, no. No.
Good heavens to you, man.
Oh, Thurston! For heaven's sakes, we're almost out of county. Oh, wow.
Don't be a Stan Los Caballos.
Los Niños would just adore to see the Caballos, Maria. Only a star.
A star.
Whatever.
I don't think she would. I don't think Carly Fiorina would know tenses.
She can't conjugate
Spanish. I don't think so either. I'm just guessing she speaks the Spanglish to the help.
Yeah.
Okay. Marie is no in casa. I'm sorry.
Esmeralda, ayúdame, por favor.
Oh, we cannot get enough this morning. Bo and Phoenix here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
Good morning. Real quick, before my cell phone dies, I want to confirm something I heard earlier this morning. Is Major Garrett in line for Helen Thomas's seat?
Yes, according to Mediaite.com, the White House Correspondents Association is looking at putting Major Garrett in Helen Thomas's
seat. What, Jeff Gannon wasn't available?
Apparently the seat depends...
He already had too many people in his seat.
Apparently positioning in the White House briefing room depends on how many people watch or read that outlet and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, Fox does have pretty high ratings.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. So there you go.
All right. Maybe Carly Fiorina. She's so good on camera. Oh, that is a panic.
Why doesn't somebody fix all the problems?
I understand.
Sanchez in Montebello. Oh, my goodness. That sounds so ethnic. Hello. Good morning. Hola.
I understand Carla Fiorina's afraid of caballos. Oh, dear me.
She's afraid of caballeros.
I'm sorry,
as well.
Manuel.
Caballeros.
Maria is no in casa today. You'll have to come in.
Tengo mucho miedo. Ayúdame, por favor. We could go out all morning.
Oh, my God.
We should have a Carla Fiorina marathon, shouldn't we, huh?
Yeah, we should.
Mama,
she cannot be mocked enough, in my opinion, at this point.
Good. Well, I'm looking forward to that program. Mama, Cite, Los Mujeres del Norte, I have two quick points here to bring up here. Number one, the Interior Department finally fessed up that the Ocean Saratoga rig has been leaking for at least April 30th.
They did
this a couple of days ago, but it took that video from Hurricane Creek Keeper to bring it out into the open. So they wouldn't have mentioned this at all unless this video would have come out. So what the heck is going on in the Interior Department that they're not letting that information slip out?
No, I hear you. By the way, did you see this yesterday? Only Kevin Costner can save us now. Seriously, Kevin Costner or James Cameron.
Yeah.
I've been to all these oil response conventions around the country and around the world, and all I see are booms and the latest helicopter, but I've never seen one machine that deals with getting the oil out. Mm-hmm. That's me.
Apparently, unless we want to be Waterworld, you got to get Kevin Costner's machine. Who knew?
Yeah, those booms are just high-tech water weenies. They're just, they're
exactly.
Not really
well, you know what they're saying, Jim, is they're not using them properly. They get soaked so quickly with oil, and then they break, and they're not really, replacing them as quickly as they should. That's just an after-the-fact kind of measure, right?
And they end up pushing the oil in places where it shouldn't be, like onshore. you know, because they didn't install them properly.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Bonnie in Tempe, Arizona, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi, Mama. I listen to you every day since day one. I love you guys, all of you. I just talk real fast because we're running out of time, but I never saw Carly Fiorina before, but I knew all about her because I listen to this station all the time. I know all the rotten things she's done in the past. But anyway, so when you went to commercial, I had my headphones on, and I thought I'll check in the morning news on cable, and they had a side-by-side picture of Barbara Boxer and then Carly Fiorina saying this. This woman, I have done private duty nursing for people like this woman. I know how she treats her help.
Yep.
She is so homely with all that makeup on. Her hair is shit. And
Thank you. Yikes. Okay. Drop the S-bomb there. All right. You know what? I need my audio crack. Can you play the Carly again? I just have to hear, and then we'll decide which part of the laugh we will isolate as our... as our audio crack from this point forward.
I find it really surprising that on the first day of the general, Meg Whitman's going on Sean Hannity. Did you hear that? I think it's bizarre. I mean, she's never been on Sean Hannity. I think it's a very bad choice, actually. You know how he is.
He's such a rube.
Lauda saw Barbara Boxer briefly on television this morning and said what everyone says, God, what is that hair? So yesterday.
Oh.
Okay, so just give me the officious laugh, the condescending officious laugh, and the it's so yesterday. That will be our new audio crack.
Okay, so you want those together in one sound bite.
Yeah, just that, and then anything Barbara Boxer says, we'll just...
It's so yesterday. Environmentalism is so yesterday.
Can't you just picture her at some obnoxious party throwing her head back when there's, like, nothing even vaguely funny?
Uh-huh.
No, you are an absolute panic.
You are a riot.
A panic.
Okay. Cannot get enough of this today. All right, let's do one less. Stephanie in Madison, hello.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I don't know where they find these mean girls, but, boy, they really
I'm telling you. That's what it is. The Republican candidates, they're the mean girls.
Yeah, I thought Michelle Bachmann was a brat, but this lady, she's going to get the brat tiara for the day and for the rest of the, you know, lifetime. But real quick, Mike Papantonio, I am so glad he's on our side. I've been so sad about this oil spill. And
I know. Yep, he is one of the good guys for sure. Sorry, honey. Out of time. We will see you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.